Chair, I want to raise as a matter of urgency a matter that's come up in business day to day and on TV last night, where the Minister of Trade and Industry dealt at length with the question of tariff reduction. Now, the reason I raise it and that we interact with them so that when Parliament adopts a position on the 13th in the House, that our position is taken care of, either in that debate or in the document to be presented to the House. I think this is an urgent matter. I think it's a very important one. It's something this committee has debated for many years, and it seems to me that we ought to support the Minister in his position. Thank you for allowing me to raise that.
Thank you, Commissioner. I think what we need to do is that in terms of our line function, policy has not changed. There might be this debate between Minister of Finance, who has his own views, and the views policy, as we understand it, has been restated by the Minister of Trade and Industry. But what I will seek to do, over and above the suggestions that you have tabled, that we interact with the committee of Ms. Marley, but I'll also seek to get the Minister to next week's meeting so that he rebriefs us as to what the latest in the portfolio committee.
Chair, with respect, I think we should go a little further than that. This is now in the public domain. The Minister was on TV last night on this matter. It's front page, business day. It is a matter of quite important, considerably important. And I think that, with all due respect, I don't think we should leave it to you alone. I propose that a multi-party group be created at this meeting to meet with the medium-term budget policy people, and that we articulate a position. I do think we can have a multi-party position on that, and ensure that the statement coming from Parliament as a response to the medium-term budget policy statement is articulated in writing, and formally. I do think it requires a formal response, and I with respect, I would suggest, I think you're taking on too much on your own, if I may say that.
If I may say with the greatest of respect, you have not listened to what I said. I said we are taking on board the suggestions that you're taking. And I said, over and above that, it will also be thought that the Minister next week becomes part of our portfolio committee. I did say that we interact with Marvin's committee. Not myself. If I say we, I'm not speaking about myself. I've never had that. So whoever, we can organize the committee, parties can discuss these issues. They'll be discussing it anyway. As you say, I'll say in the open. So all these measures are not mutually exclusive. Comrade Jenny?
Yeah, sure. Chair, but thank you. You've covered it because I thought there was maybe a misunderstanding. But I also want to say that it's important to have your attention, Chair. I also want to say I think it's important for the governing party to acquaint itself with the necessary facts, because we have learned that the media interpret their own issues. And we cannot, because the media says certain things, we act in certain ways depending on what the media says. I think the Minister himself, as a responsible person, should then come and account to us, and then we can take this particular process further. Thank you.
There is an article.
Complete man, just wait.
Sorry.
There is a process under which all political parties are discussing. And even within the ANC, could you kindly switch off your mic, When the issue first broke, we had said that as the study group, we collect all the relevant information and interact with this process. That, for the members of the ANC, is still underway. Later today, we are having a study group meeting. We still continue to follow that process. And then with the latest development, we'll interact with them. So I'm not going to open further discussions to debate this issue right now. The presenters are here. So if you want to debate amongst yourselves, you can do that over here. But in principle, all the issues have been accepted.
Just to clarify one matter of fact, this is not the media that we're talking about. It's a statement by the minister in the newspaper. So it's not, we can't say that the media interprets anything. It's not that. It's the minister himself, and that is the statement that I'm referring to.
Well, we haven't had access to it, so let's get the minister to clear up first. No, no, the minister is the man that got to us, not the three papers. And that is a fact.
Good folks. As I said, we've got a long day and discuss this matter further. I see the Dr. Scott is here. Deputy Director General. When you are done hugging and kissing, then you can comment. No, in that department, you've got nothing to do with the civil union, but nothing to do with it. You're out of order. I didn't hear that. Good folks, good morning to the Deputy Director General and his team from the department. We did hear that you were stuck at the visitor's processing office. So, as soon as you have caught your breath, you can commence. But may I invite you to have some water or whatever?
Thank you.
Then start when you are ready. And when you are ready, you can start.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair. In fact, maybe I have to apologize for being a little bit late. We took a chance by flying in this morning. And we thought by quarter to nine we would be here. Apologies for that. Chair, I'm with my colleagues here. First, Mr. Jeffrey Ndumo, he's the chief director responsible for the cooperative unit within the department. And Ms. Didongo, she's also within that unit in the department. As the honorable members of the committee will know, we are here to present the status report on the economic and empowerment agenda, the focus being the cooperatives. Last week we were here presenting on the very same topic. We were presenting the impact the gender and empowerment programs of the CI have in the wider society. This will be the outline of our presentation, Chair. I'll just deal with the first few slides and Mr. Ndumo will deal with the rest of the presentation. Just to provide a little bit of background information, in December 2001, Cabinet approved the new mandate for the cooperative development to be transferred from the Department of Agriculture to the Department of Trade and Industry. As members would remember, before 2001, the Department of Agriculture had the mandate to develop the cooperatives in the economy. But obviously, because of their political mandate, they were mainly focusing on agricultural cooperatives. And the other sectors of the economy, they were not focusing on. But then from 2001, there was a major effort from government to promote the very same cooperatives in other sectors of the economy. So that's why the Department of Trade and Industry was given the mandate to look after this kind of sector. But then the government perspective really is that all the spheres of government should actually be involved in the promotion and development of cooperatives. Because this is one of the tools that we are using to promote participation of mainly the people who were disadvantaged in the past, participating in the spheres of the economy. And in 2005, the Cooperative Act number 14 prescribed that the DTI should facilitate effective coordination and reporting mechanism across all spheres of government. At the moment, this unit, the cooperative unit within the department, is responsible for the coordination and reporting to Parliament, as we are doing today, on all the cooperative efforts by all government spheres, starting from the national government down to local communities. Next will be the status on the Cooperative Act, the national policy and strategy. The DTI developed the cooperative policy in 2004 that formed the basis for the development of the amended Cooperative Act. The Cooperative Act number 14 of 2005 was promulgated into law on the 14th of August 2005, obviously repealing the old act. And then the cooperative regulations that ensured the proclamation of the Cooperative Act were finalized, allowing the effective implementation of the act. And that was done this year in May 2007. Okay. Our minister signed off the regulations, I think it was in March when he signed off the regulations. And then the president proclaimed the act in May 2007. As a result of that, the new systems were launched by CIPRO for registration of cooperatives. And then the very same division of the DTI, or the organ of the DTI, is now working on the decentralization of cooperative registration. At the moment, this registration is still based at the head office of the department. But we are trying to decentralize so that people in rural areas could be able to access these kinds of offices for registering the cooperatives. The National Cooperative Development Strategy is a major policy instrument currently being finalized by the DTI. And we hope in the very near future we will come back to this committee to present this strategy. And then I will let Mr. Ndumo to proceed with the presentation. But this was just a background information so far on the development of the new policy, the new act, and the strategy that we are dealing with, which we hope to come back in the near future to present before the committee. Thanks, Jeff.
Thanks, DDG. Thanks, Chairperson. I think I will just take off where my DDG left. In terms of the Act, really, what the Act seeks to do, it seeks Chairperson to promote the development of sustainable cooperatives that comply with the cooperative principles, thereby increasing the number and variety of economic enterprises in South Africa, so that these new forms of businesses really are also adding and contributing and increasing the number of enterprises in South Africa. It also encourages persons who subscribe to the values of self-reliance, self-help, to register in terms of this particular act, encourages simpler registration processes and management of cooperatives, and it also promotes equity and greater participation by black persons, especially those in rural areas, women, persons with disability, and youth. It facilitates the effective coordination and reporting mechanisms across all spheres of government through the GTI, and it also ensures development of support programs for all spheres of government. You will see in our presentation that emphasis that all government must be involved in driving the promotion of cooperatives. It's something that we've already started. We're going to be giving some reports and status reports as to how we are progressing in that regard. Now, I'll start here with the coordination with provinces. As already noted, the Cooperatives Act legislates that all spheres of government design and implement support measures for cooperatives. The DCI has established in that regard a provincial coordination committee consisting of all 9 departments of economic development chaired by the DGI. All 9 provinces attend meetings on a quarterly basis, and meetings rotate in provinces for learning purposes. I think in our last quarter we were in KZN, and I think the following now we're going to be going to Limpopo province. That's where we're going to be having our committee meetings. These meetings really are designed, Chairperson, to give reports in terms of programs, in terms of also the implementation, so that we can then give the overall national picture of what is happening on cooperatives. The DGI is the custodian of the cooperative program established as well in terms of the national coordination at the national department level, interdepartmental committee to coordinate cooperative development activities and programs with key national departments. 20 national departments were invited to participate in the committee. 18 departments responded to the call and are attending meetings on a quarterly basis as well. Environmental Affairs and Forestry and Statistics South Africa are the ones that we're still finding challenges, but it's something that we're working on so that they can then participate in those committees moving forward. The coordination is aimed at ensuring that compliance with the requirements of the Act takes place from all departments in terms of formulating strategies and programs designed to support cooperatives. The department share experiences as well as report progress in this regard. Now, when we now look at zooming into provinces in terms of the strategies, all the 9 provinces, Chairperson, have already started around the issue of developing strategies. If we take KwaZulu-Natal, it has already started developing its own cooperative strategy, which is going to be a provincial one that will drive development of cooperatives in that province. And then with respect to housing, cooperative policy and strategy has already been formulated. What is happening now, it is still undergoing internal processes within the province itself. And moving forward, once our strategy is already available, the national one, we will then align and ensure the alignment between the housing cooperative strategy with the national one. Similarly, in Western Cape, the draft strategy is already formulated. It's also going internal processes as well. And then with respect to Limpopo, the draft strategy is being prepared and is undergoing internal processes as well. It's similarly with Northwest, strategy is currently being drafted. They are still putting it together. With respect to Eastern Cape, the cooperative strategy development has just also started, and with the other remaining Free State, Northern Cape, and Mpumalanga, they are still in the phase of drafting those particular strategies. So, because our view is that there has to be a national strategy and it has to be supported as well, that's the government view, with the provincial strategies that are interlinked and harmonized with the national one. Now, on the aspect of financial support for cooperatives, we will start, Chairperson, with SMAF. What SMAF provides is the really a micro enterprise loans, and the investment so far in terms of 2006-2007 that has been dispersed to a number of cooperatives and some households is around 5.2 million in loans, and also 5 million has also been dispersed for capacity building. 20 cooperatives have been given loans, and then of course 3.4 thousand individual borrowers, and then 2.1 thousand women borrowers and 577 youth borrowers and also 27 disabled borrowers. That is the extent to which disbursement has taken place and the benefits to the beneficiaries. With respect to Umsobobu Youth Fund, also it provides the enterprise loans, and the 9.5 million has already been dispersed to cooperatives. And then, of course, 27 youth-owned cooperatives benefited since 2005 to 2000 and up until to date. And the SACO lended to 395 micro-enterprises, and also jobs were created as a result. The Umsobobu Youth Fund lended also 2.2 million to SACOL for lending to SACOL's beneficiaries. So that money from 2005 up to today is the amount that has been dispersed by Umsobobu Youth Fund. All these agencies, Chairperson, are really required by the legislation as well to ensure that they provide financial products to cooperatives. With respect to the National Empowerment Fund, Imbewu Fund, which is a loan product, has also dispersed 2.3 million to 9 cooperatives at time rate. That is the beneficiaries with respect to those agencies at the national level. Now, if we continue, we have another program which is called the Cooperative Incentive Scheme. This is a 90-10 matching grant. It is geared for startup cooperatives. And then already now, 4 million has been dispersed to 16 cooperatives. Really, the jobs that we created in that regard were 303 members received really jobs, direct jobs, and these were members who also got employed in the process as well. And the PIS has been transferred really to TEO to administer and roll out. Initially, the cooperative incentive scheme was administered and rolled out by the cooperative unit. We have now then transferred it to TEO, which is the enterprise organization within TTI, to administer it and roll it out to beneficiaries. And then we also have another program, which is the Cooperative Special Project Fund. This particular fund really operates within the market range of your small to medium cooperatives, and it provides it's a grant and a loan mixed facility. It provides 60% loan and a 40% grant to cooperatives. It provides a startup and an expansion capital assistance. So far, 8 million has been dispersed to four small to medium cooperatives. And then there are a number of jobs that have also been created. And then now KULA is now the agent that's going to be administering and rolling out the instrument to cooperatives moving forward. Initially, this one as well was within the cooperative division or unit, and now we realize that we don't have the control measures that are tied because of the division, so we then gave it to agencies, to the KULA agents, to roll it out to the beneficiaries. Now, the other aspect is around, the status is around access to market. On the access to market, really, we are pleased, Chairperson, to inform the committee that 10 products, the designated 10 products, have been approved by Cabinet, and we are going to be beginning to rolling them out to other departments and provinces to ensure that there is compliance, and therefore they are being given to small and enterprises and cooperatives. And also measures for 30-day compliance has also been approved by Cabinet, and starting next year we're going to be rolling out to other departments and provinces to ensure compliance, and therefore that strict adherence to 30-day payment is adhered by all departments accordingly. On the aspect of the non-financial support for cooperatives, CEDA is the agency that provides at the national level, that particular non-financial support. We will start with the business support services. 151 cooperatives were provided with business support services as from 2005 to 2006. And then that really graduated to 580. Cooperatives were provided with the same services in 2006 to 2007. And then also CEDA has undertaken really the trainings is given a training trainers within 51 FET colleges on the basic cooperative concept, so that these trainers can then start beginning to train more cooperatives. Then they can then begin to provide that kind of services to cooperatives. And awareness support services is also being undertaken. There are 12 awareness workshops which were carried out, benefiting 275 people on cooperatives in 2005-2006 financial year. And then there were 9 awareness workshops were carried out, benefiting 225 people on cooperatives in 2006-2007. And then also the cooperatives unit in 2006-2007 carried out a capacity building. About 500 officers and individuals at local levels of government have been trained across the provinces on the Train a Trainer cooperatives program to enable them to assist cooperatives in their regions. And then also 270 community development workers have been trained on the cooperative concept in all provinces. So in that regard, that has been the achievement that has taken place. With respect to Umsobomvu Youth Fund, Umsobomvu Youth Fund also provides a non-financial support, cooperative government training, access to market, business support services, and facilitation of access to finance have been carried out by Umsobomvu. 447 cooperative members were trained since 2005 until to date, and then training of trainers where Umsobomvu partnered with FIDA on training FET colleges on the cooperative concept. 2 FET in KZN are being contracted to roll out a comprehensive training and mentoring program which will focus on existing cooperatives to ensure sustainability. So that is on the financial side where taken place. Now, to continue now to touch on the status on support for cooperatives from other national departments, as I said that we're looking at the whole universal picture really within the whole economy. Other government departments are obligated in terms of the act to ensure the support for cooperatives. We'll start with agriculture. The number of cooperatives that we assisted within the agriculture department are the 28 cooperatives and self-help groups supported financially, 857 jobs were created, and 827 primary cooperatives assisted with registration, and 30 secondary cooperatives assisted with registration as well. And then policy on agricultural cooperatives drafted and still undergoing internal process within the department. And then within that, 28 cooperatives that were provided with financial assistance, 11 million loan amount were dispersed by MAFISA, which is the agency within the agricultural department during the 2006 and 2007 financial year. This amount formed part of the total budget of MAFISA, which is around 590 million. So that is the amount that has been dispersed to cooperatives. With respect to the housing department, 42 cooperatives supported financially and non-financially through the social housing Foundation and National Housing Finance Corporation. 1,311 jobs created within the 42 housing cooperatives. And then these, the other programs that were carried out are the members of housing cooperatives, women 4,371, men 2,729, and disabled 270. 10 million in loans and subsidies provided through the NHFC, and 2 million on technical assistance provided through the HHF during 2006-2007 financial year. Rooftops Canada has also provided the technical support, and the Norwegian Embassy provided support for 3 years to the Department of Housing as well. With respect to the Department of Social Development, 645 poverty relief projects owned by women have been supported financially and are about to be turned into fully-fledged cooperatives. And then 51 women and 1 man are currently employed in the first pilot of sustainable livelihoods in Duchini. And the strategy on sustainable livelihood is in its first phase of rollout and is targeted at 4 learning sites, starting with Duchini in the Eastern Cape. The strategy is based on strict equity principles. 26 million has been set aside to create infrastructure development aimed at supporting the 645 poverty relief projects to be converted into cooperatives in the 2007-2008 financial year. But I think this particular aspect, I must note, Chairperson, that this kind of finance of money might also extend towards 2008-2009 financial year, given the fact that we are coming towards the tail end of the 2007-2008 financial year. With respect to the DBSA, six cooperatives provided the facilitation support in the Northern Cape here, and then also 117 jobs were created through the noted six cooperatives. And then worked with the GTI on training of 270 community development workers, trainers in provinces have already pointed this out, and it ensures the CDW rollout training to others and communities. The CDW is collecting data to profile poor families for introduction of the cooperative concept to the families. No quantified budget has been designated in this particular department as yet. With respect to the public works, they integrated support with provinces on expanded public works program. Numbers of cooperatives supported so far involved the Limpopo province, reflected under the Limpopo section, as you will see as I'm going to be articulating under the provinces. This is the support that has been given to cooperatives through this particular program. And then the budget that was really dispersed or sent to these particular cooperatives is 2.4 million since 2005 until to date. Other departments, really some are still in the intensive stages of development of programs on cooperatives, and others have not yet submitted their reports. So really the picture there is a picture that is still in an infancy and is still developing chapter 10 with the other departments. And in the future, we're going to be giving further developments in this particular regard. KwaZulu-Natal, where now we're focusing on provinces, has, in a sense, invested 163 million since 2005 until today to cooperatives. 9,404 jobs created in the following sectors: catering, furniture, taxes and services. Itala Bank is the agency that really provides these loans and guarantees. 6,761 cooperatives were trained by the FET colleges in that particular province. And then 1,175 cooperatives funded, of which 823 are operational, and the remaining really have been a failure, Chairperson, unfortunately. And these are the lessons we are learning moving forward. And in fact, what we are learning is that we need to beef up the non-financial support to ensure sustainability of cooperatives in this particular regard. These are the lessons that we're drawing from KZN. Other departments, health, education, transport, and agriculture within the provinces are providing procurement opportunities to cooperatives. In the Gauteng province, 1.8 million since 2005 to date has been invested in cooperatives. Eight cooperatives financially supported creating 86 jobs, primarily in the manufacturing sector. Gauteng Enterprise Propeller is the agency that has dispersed this particular amount. In the Limpopo province, the 20 million grant from LIPSA was sent to 51 cooperatives since 2005 until to date, and then 2.4, as I've already pointed out, have been really spent through the EPW since 2005 until to date. And then 361,397,000 was spent by the department on training cooperatives on the cooperative principles. 51 cooperatives given financial and non-financial support, creating 1,171 jobs in the formal sector, and the sectors here that have benefited are agriculture and textiles. LIPSA, the Department of Public Works, and the Department of Labor and Municipalities are the players in this particular regard. Northern Cape provided facilitation support to cooperatives so far, i.e. registration, business plan development, application for funding. 118 jobs created in the following sectors: mining, farming, textiles, energy, creative industries, through those facilitation for financial support that were given to those particular enterprises. And then other departments, agriculture, labor, municipal, provide procurement opportunities in that particular province to cooperatives. With respect to the Free State province, 10% no budget allocated to support cooperatives. It only provide now a facilitation support to cooperatives
8 cooperatives given that kind of facilitation support. 300 jobs so far have been created, and then 55 general cooperatives and 10 youth-owned cooperatives and 15 women cooperatives have been created. And then district municipalities and also the DPLG also are the players in this particular regard, in that particular province. With respect to Northwest, no support has been provided as yet to cooperatives, and therefore we are still engaging with that particular province to ensure that moving forward, further support and in terms of the compliance with the Act is therefore provided, and also support measures are developed in that particular regard. With respect to Western Cape, 850,000 budget for the pilots has been allocated, and then 2.3 million budgeted for other cooperative programs, and then of course sectors which are being targeted are agriculture, construction and retail. 3 pilot projects to be launched in December 2007, 1 secondary cooperative in that regard, 10 primary cooperatives, and then 1 construction primary cooperative and 1 retail and marketing cooperative. Development Bank of Southern Africa, the DBSA, is also assisting and working closely with the Western Cape in providing support to that particular province. Eastern Cape, no support provided as yet, and then in terms of employment created, none yet, and then of course we expect that these agencies are going to come into the party in ensuring that further support is given to cooperatives within that particular province. ECDC, SAMAF, and also other funds in terms of the LEDs. And then Mpumalanga province provides facilitation and referral support to other to cooperatives and other support agencies. No statistics yet is developed to be rectified moving forward. And then we expect MEGA, SAMAF, and even other departments to play roles in this regard. Now, there are challenges, Chairperson, that we want just to raise in this particular committee. Some provinces that have already alluded, and in fact I think the picture is already coming clear, and national departments do not have budget dedicated or ring-fenced for cooperatives as yet. And the other challenge is that some provinces and national departments do not have programs dedicated for cooperatives. Some national departments, e.g. labor, do not participate in the intergovernmental committee and report on progress has not been achieved, and this will be corrected moving forward. Is one of the challenges we're facing, is part of the challenges on coordination. Leadership challenge, coordination committees sometimes are affected by poor attendance, and then of course economic development departments in provinces have not yet assumed leadership roles in coordinating for support for cooperatives in those respective provinces. And this is something that we seek to correct moving forward in the future. In terms of the way forward, we are seeking to really strengthen existing coordination committees. That's what we're going to be working on moving forward. In terms of the interdepartmental and provincial committees, establish really the coordination committee with all development agencies or institutions, both financial and non-financial agencies. Assistance of provinces in establishing their coordination committees with other departments and provincial institutions. And then also provide clear reporting of progress to be emphasized in those particular committees. And then finalization of the national cooperative strategy and implementation of proposed programs that are going to emanate from those particular strategies. And then technical assistance to provinces in finalization of their strategies. And then, of course, technical assistance to national departments in development of cooperative sector policies, strategies, and programs. These are the things that we're going to be working on moving forward. With those few words, Chairperson, thank you very much for your attention.
Thank you very much. I've always known you to be a man of very few words. Today is no different. Good talk. There's a broad, detailed overview. I've noted you mentally, Mr. Labuschagne, Mr. Hashmani, and Mayor Dorothy. And, yeah.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. And I also want to thank the presenter, Ubanu, Jeffrey, Ndumo. Jeffrey. Okay. Whatever. Now, I have a question on page 8. When you talk about the 11 million loan amount necessary by Micro Agricultural Finance Institute of South Africa, MAFISA. Now, my question is, MAFISA is being administered by the Land Bank for now. And Kula Enterprise is also tapping into the MAFISA Bank. And what I've learned yesterday is that the MAFISA fund is put on a moratorium. How do you, these organizations, all tap into MAFISA funds? Is it working or is it put on a moratorium? And the second question is on the 42 cooperatives supported financially and non, the second slide 16. You say on the column of other programs that members of housing cooperatives, you put this number, and there's this 10 million that you say is being loaned. Now, what I wanted to know was that are you saying this 10 million has been loaned to, if I calculate these numbers, I come to 7,370 members. You say members of housing cooperatives. Is it loaned to individual members or to the 42 cooperatives? I just want clarity on that one. For now, I'll just stop there. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Mentini. Next, Mr. Labuskas.
Thank you, Chair. I just looking at page 5, that slide 10, I suppose, would be used. This Umsobomvu Youth Fund, I was looking at the Labour Committee yesterday. I mean, it seems to totally duplicate the small enterprise fund, totally duplicate the activities. And you wonder why we have two separate things doing exactly the same thing, lending to small enterprises on this basis, why there are two totally duplicate organizations, in this regard. And I don't know if that's an unnecessary duplication. Again, CEDA, if you look on page 7, CEDA and Umsobomvu, again, there's virtually a duplication of their activities, and whether these two separate activities should not at some stage, whether there is a need for two of these organizations funded by the government, because that's the only, the one question there, and as I said, that's a policy decision or something, and I don't know if it quite fits in here as a correct place to discuss it, but it is just so, I think so unnecessary. I don't have much, the challenges are there, and the way forward, well, it's to jog, the old story of jogging departments. It's again very interesting if you look at the third challenge, where you have Labour, which is involved with the Bondo Youth Fund, that's not coming to the table. Seems to be a contradiction. Especially if they have a fund that does lend to cooperatives, because it's not something. So I think that is something that I suppose should be flagged, and I assume the department will take it up with the Department of Labor, particularly in view of the Umsamombo Youth Fund connection. Thank you.
Thanks, Mr. Lavascatli. If you could kindly sit off your mic. I think the policy issue is a relevant one that you raise, but also in terms of the practitioners who disperse funds, the various organizations, as they come and report to the committee, we should be able to get their sense also as to what the impact by this dual or multiple disbursement to the same target group. In the same vein that we once had a presentation, a report from Kula, and they were able to express their views in terms of the funds that they have available for disbursement. So all those practical issues, the application of policy in practice should be able to in turn again guide if there are unintended consequences. How do we mediate or remedy them? So it becomes relevant also for the agencies that report to speak to the issue as to how parallel organizations targeting the market impacts on the work that they do. Dr. Hassman, you were next.
Thank you, Chairperson, for giving me the opportunity also to raise few comments and questions. First of all, I would want to perhaps to start with this question that was actually raised by Ms. Labaskahn, to say, Chair, that in my own experience, I would really commend CEDA and Umsobomvu for actually working together in terms of facilitation for business to CEDA across the board, whether you are women, whether you are youth, whether you are men, disabled, and so on. They don't actually say no. We would wait for someone to come, or maybe you would have to come through someone or so on. But the target work from primarily the youth. So Umsobomvu has synergized its program, and also you would find Umsobomvu in many CEDA offices because it doesn't want to, that young people would have to go to Johannesburg, for instance, for services. Since CEDA has rolled out the branches and every other thing, so that is where you would actually get this other angle of the Umsobomvu. That's how then some of the Umsobomvu programs would be reported sometimes under those offices. So it's a very good work that they're doing. I've seen it, so I haven't seen any duplication thereof. I haven't seen any duplication. So I want to commend them because we have been also saying that the rest of the other coaching institutions must copy that, so that when you want to see officials that are dealing with Kula program, you must not actually phone Kula at his head office or somewhere else. You must find them there in the community. The rest of the other coaching institutions as well. So I don't have a problem personally, Chair, but Mr. Ndumo will have to comment on that. But the real issue with cooperative support and promotion is a challenge, I must say, it's a challenge. The government tried policy change, and that was successful in 2005. We enacted the law, promulgation of regulations was done. This is yes, May.
This year,
May. That's one other thing, and then the strategy is still, we're still going there. Yet our people down there are already there. Many of them, there are so many cooperatives in all provinces who are actually looking forward for support, either non-financial and financial, which they don't get, you know, even according to the report. The evidence is there in there that support is a challenge. And what you'd experience there, therefore, is that some corporations fall away, they collapse, whilst we are still going to actually look into the strategic development there. And our people are sinking deep and deep into poverty in our democratic government. During our developmental state era. So we need to do something. And I for one am not even satisfied with the DTI, you know, performance in this area. Because even when they come and present the cooperatives are actually kept there. We don't even see Mr. Nduma coming with those that would actually come on small developmental support. You would leave him and come with other people. But cooperatives should be taken seriously by the department. And the authority, the mandate that has been given to the coordinating committee, Mr. Nduma talked about that. And the fact that other departments are not buying it, that shows us, Chair, the problem would be that there is no authoritative authority, you know, on GTI to coordinate all the departments. And if that is still the case, we would actually see this problem recurring. You know, unabated. It will go on and on and on. Unless there's enough power that we devolve over to this committee that has to coordinate other departments. So I think that has to be looked at seriously, even at the level of politicians, the policy level. We have to actually look at that, the DDGs here. Deputy Director General. That chief we cannot actually discuss, because even yourself, even if you would actually call on other DDGs from other departments, they will question your status. In fact, you know, at an equal level with me. Who is he to call me for issues of cooperatives? So that is why there is this actually lagging behind or non-cooperative from other departments. But the report on the performance is saying something, but we don't know how many, for instance, from page 10, how many of these cooperatives, even before the public works, when you reported about various funds that have been allocated to various cooperatives, we don't know how many have been assisted. Hence, I have said that many are still not assisted and are collapsing. And what should we do about that? With the agriculture, can we explain how do they approach the issue of cooperatives? With this in mind, that some communities were asked to club together so that government would buy them some farm, land redistribution. They would club together, and a farm would be bought for them, and that would be all. And no other assistance in terms of implements, in terms of working capital. And those people, the funds that would buy such a farm would be mobilized from their own money in a sense of the housing subsidy. I don't know whether they regard those form of collective as cooperative as well, much that we don't see much, especially in the Northwest. Northwest is lagging behind the Eastern Cape was as well. Especially in the Northwest, that there would be a follow-up on assistance and also training, you know, non-financial assistance as well. We don't see anything. So I don't know whether some of those are regarded as cooperative or they are not regarded as cooperative. And the issue that the money that was allocated there is actually the individual's money, not money that belongs to that was budgeted, as they've said. The public works report, if that is the one that reports on all provinces, actually it's one other glaring example that we are biased towards the bigger provinces. Gauteng, you could see the allocation for Gauteng was in Natal and Cape Town. Not Cape Town, man. Bigger picture. But you look at these other provinces, the most provinces, nothing. And they are facilitating their business. And you ask yourself whether this facilitation that they are doing, is it not a double reporting? Because that facilitation, as according to your report, was explained through the work that is being done by SIDA. And then we come to public works, and again, there's this other facilitation. How does it tally with the one that we find other SIDA? Your challenges, I think we'll need to actually look into how you are going to actually deal with these challenges. They're enormous, plus the challenge of the authority over the, which does not appear here, over the this coordinating committee. That's it.
That has meant. Thank you very much. Also very
tomorrow.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair, and let me thank the presenter as well for his presentation. One would really want to express one's appreciation for what seems to have started, you know, rolling out with regards to coordination. I think we've been having this problem for a very long time, you know, especially these three spheres of governance, and one would want to appreciate the fact that now it is taking place. However, I think it could have also been helpful if we were told, because if you look at the challenges, there is nowhere where there is a mention of local government. It's just an overall, you know, coordination. But as to the numbers, where they come from, it is not clear. Maybe it will be helpful to know, because, you know, local government is the one that is nearest to our people. And one would really appreciate to see how many of our people are benefiting through local government. And the other question, the other concern is the one that was raised by Hakim. It is not clear, you know, when you look at the amount as to whether, I think Mantulo also alluded to that one, as to whether the whole amount is allocated to the number of cooperatives that are being mentioned here, you know. It is not quite clear. So if we can also, you know, make clear to that one. And then you said on slide 4, you said two departments have not responded. What are the problems there? Why are they not responding? I'm not sure whether the challenge is, the challenges are falling also within the challenges that are being mentioned as a deck. I think one of the other concerns that was also mentioned by Comrade Kathleen is this one of monitoring. How extensive are our mechanisms, you know, for monitoring this? Because we are dealing here with people who have never been in businesses, especially the one in the rural areas. How do we ensure so that we avoid, you know, having these who fail, and maybe if we can also speak to the failure, that those which fail, Comrade Chair, maybe if you can ask Comrade Venturok and Comrade Labaskandi,
Comrade
to have their meeting outside, or maybe listen to me, if I'm boring, if they can have their meeting outside this house. And then the location. I'm not sure as to whether in these provinces where you were mentioning are you accommodating all these you know, cooperatives that have been mentioned on these slides. Perhaps I missed on slide 6 under incentives, the TEO, what it stands for. If you can assist me, maybe you did mention, but I didn't get it. If you can also speak to, on the same page 6, elaborate a little bit on the designated 10 products approved by Cabinet to be rolled out to other departments, and these 10 products, if you can elaborate on them. I think I've already covered that, you know, it's sometimes the slides are confusing, you are not sure whether the numbers that are given here actually, you know, accurate in as far as the total that is mentioned and also the amount of money. On page 9, the 645 slide number 17, 645 over general projects. What kind of projects? These that are owned by women, you know, it would be interesting to hear what are the kind of projects that are there. Then on slide 10, I think Comrade Hasmin has spoken to each with regards to the amount again. And then on page 11, why are some of these provinces behind? Maybe you can just say they are covered by the challenges that are on page 10, but it would be useful for one to know the lacking behind of these provinces. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Mayor Dorothy. Comrades. Welcome, everything is right then.
They take rooms, but y'all know the answer, no? I have something one to room one, room two, room two.
Your body may be accepted. And why is there to my sister to watch? Can I check the microphone?
You want microphone?
Yes.
You want microphone?
Your microphone.
No, I'll shout there.
Okay, now I think we're at the rally.
Well, I'm used to them. Thanks very much, sir. To me, the starting point is that research and history has demonstrated, and you know, undisputably, that cooperatives are the best generators of jobs. I think the test that I've picked up doing some research was that as compared to the conventional companies, your PTYs, CIS, and others, cooperative movement throughout the world has employed far. That's the basis of one admiring and having an unending and unstoppable passion on cooperatives, hoping that amongst other tools that we have, they will obviously contribute to the transformation of our country. Having said that, Chair, of course, one also notes that we wouldn't necessarily have the whole day getting all the information that we would love around the cooperatives. And let me be upfront and say, one of the requests or suggestions that one made before on other things around having at least a web page on certain areas should also be extended here so that we can get as much information which we humanly cannot get in within 3 hours or 4 hours when we're sitting with the representatives of the department. Chair, already with regard to the involvement of municipalities, which is was something I was going to raise, that has been raised repeatedly. However, one would just like to know out of interest whether any link or interaction with SALGA per se has been made, because in my understanding, DTI and some of its agencies do interact with SALGA. And, one would expect and assume that, amongst other things, the issue of cooperatives will be raised. Also, my other concern, or just a point to note, when I was looking at slide number 7, is that a lot has been said about DTI meeting other departments, and then they only 20 have attended, and obviously, one way or another, some concern must be raised about those who have not yet responded. Chair, let me go further with my questions. Whilst it's okay that the National Empowerment Fund also has taken up the gauntlet and also provides loans to cooperatives, but it is of interest to note that they lend at prime rate. In fact, what strikes me is that also SAMAF and Umsobomvu do lend, but they have not highlighted the fact that they are lending at prime rate. Why the emphasis when it comes to NES? Why emphasis on prime rate? You know, one would have expected that, you know, lending is, or loans are given, you know, within the parameters and regulations that are set. As a comment, Chair, I think when it comes to slide number 11, 8 million rand is rather a very, very small amount. If you could just get an indication as to whether there's been any problems that have caused that small amount we know the agencies, they are fairly capable to give out loans, and even the youngest, some of them, have actually done good lending recently. Are there any challenges that specific that the cooperative development unit or whoever is facing, or the specific fund. And also, what's the difference between the cooperative incentive scheme and the cooperative special project fund? Nothing, sir.
No.
She didn't bring any blessings, sir. Slide 14 refers to two FETs in KZN providing training. That's admirable, Chair, but then there are lots of FETs in other provinces as well. And one would like to know whether approaches have been done and or there are any intentions. I mean, you can't only have KZN, you know, doing such a good work, because skills around cooperatives have got to be done everywhere. If there's a way, Chair, I'm sure it would be helpful if the department, if they have access to the Bikini pilot, to share that with us. Of course, if not, we'll look at other means, but it's just helpful to see how some of the departments are doing their best, you know, to ensure that cooperatives do their work or are put at the center of transformation, amongst other things. I must add and rub the salt into the wound, Chair, about some of the departments that have not yet taken up the use of cooperatives seriously. Reference is made there that with some departments, the development of programs on cooperatives is still at infancy. It would be helpful just to know which ones. Also, Chair, one should note also that quite a level of commendation that some of the provinces have actually ensured that they support cooperatives beyond the conventional of just saying cooperatives are for agriculture. One looks at the cooperatives that have been supported in housing for manufacturing, mining, energy, and creative industry in Northern Cape. With regard to Northwest and Eastern Cape, I'm sure even if there are indications that this matter will be taken up, but I think we should, as a committee, express concern through whatever appropriate structure. I mean, government at national level, even at provincial level, have taken formal positions in support of cooperatives. Can the department, I'm looking at slide number 23, just share with us how they are going to correct the specific challenges? The first one is that some of the national departments have not yet participated. One has looked at that with concern, particularly with regards to the Department of Labor. And also the other economic development departments, which have not yet done anything. Chair, as no mention has been made around the role and contribution of the private sector. Generally, in the current dispensation, in various key initiatives, either on its own volition or through initiatives by the government itself, private sector is usually, you know, encouraged, invited to contribute, particularly on initiatives that contribute to the transformation of our society, particularly now in this instance on economic transformation, and one hasn't had anything with that regard. The last point, Chair, is that our issues around cooperatives included in discussions within the economic cluster in the executive. I know Baba Ndumo, maybe Kutikote can help on that. Not saying that they attend, but surely when they get report back one way or another, they could pick up that given the value that's assigned to the benefits of the cooperative development and support program, to then Shall then the economic cluster from time to time address that? Thank you.
Thank you very much,
Next year, I'll be very brief. Just to say that I'm very pleased that this cooperative issue has now come quite strongly to the committee. It's taken a long time, but it's here. You know, even when we first discussed the legislation, there was great reluctance in the department. It took quite a lot of persuasion by this committee to push the issue and get the legislation through. And I think the reason for that, and coming to Comrade Sita's comment, to create cooperatives requires a culture and understanding. And that it doesn't happen automatically. The automatic thing is that people become individual entrepreneurs if they can. But to set up a cooperative is a bigger issue. And it requires almost a cultural change of mindset, yes, including in government, but also in the community. And this leads me to my first point. I have now made contact with CEDA in connection with my constituency office, not to provide the service that CEDA provides, but to provide the kind of information that CEDA wants to get to the public. And it seems to me that the DTI could also use our constituency offices, not to do your work, but to create the culture. Because in a way it's a political issue. Where the community suddenly sees the prospect of combining in communities. This is a political issue, and it seems to me that MPs could help to create a change of cultural mindset. And I offer my constituency offices as well. Then the question of coordination and DTI. I do see again and again that officials come and report to us about their own enterprise, their own department or their own unit. I think we should always ask that this should be presented as a connected thing so that we feel comfortable, that there isn't compartmentalization. Otherwise, we become a country of workshops. You know, every unit, leader, whatever, it goes out and has workshops and creates provincial structures and so on. This could be very costly and duplication. I'm sure you're aware of it, but I would encourage that you also inform us about how this kind of coordination is going to happen. Finally, Chair, the Finance Committee passed some legislation about cooperatives and banking. Now, unfortunately, I did get the document, so I didn't get time to study it. I wonder if the DDG knows about that legislation. It is specifically about cooperatives, about regulating banks, etc. I'm afraid I'm not on top of this, but it does seem to me that I felt at the time that maybe finance was spreading on into areas which would be of interest to us. And somebody ought to find out and report to us. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chairman. On page 4, it's mentioned there, and I think some of the other members of the committee have mentioned it as well, that 18 government departments responded to the DTI. What is rather worrying, Mr. Chairman, is that Environmental Affairs, Forestry and Statistics never even responded. And I think, with due respect, Mr. Chairman, statistics are vitally important. If we want to implement our cooperative strategy in this country, we need statistics. We need the minimum working capital ratio. We need all these other financial figures. And I find that very, very disturbing, Mr. Chairman. The second thing is important. What I have received, Mr. Chairman, is that many of my fishing cooperatives are come from the rural communities. I've had profound problems in getting into contact with the Department of Environmental Affairs, especially when it comes to fishing quotas and so forth. And I think we from the DTI should express our concern regarding that, because that affects the viability of these particular cooperatives as well. And I think we need communication with these particular departments. And then, Chairman, I'd like to get some further clarity. They say research is being conducted. to establish current products of all carpenters and the manner in which to link them to government expenditure. Is it possible to furnish us with the preliminary findings of this particular research? When do they intend the department, when do they intend to continue this particular research? Because I think it's very important that we take cognizance of their preliminary findings. And then I think that one of the other colleagues also said something that the public sector and the private sector, when it comes to officers, I think there must be a degree of cooperation, because many of our agricultural co-ops became private or public business companies and so forth. And I think it's important that they, that the upcoming co-ops, that they behave with the existing ones and so forth. I think there's tremendous synergy if they have a meaningful sort of relationship with these particular companies. And I think it can only improve the economy, especially in rural areas where the most difficult society find themselves in rural areas and so forth. So I think I'd like to have the views from the officials here. If there is a degree of rapport between the private and the private sector, or the formerly listed carpenters, and the present upcoming carpenters. Thank you.
Dr.
Agnew,
thank you very much,
Thanks, President. I have been partly covered in a number of areas I needed to read, some of which have been covered. But at least if I can be able to get the overall impact that is already mentioned
in the society.
Economically and socially. The second area is the impact that training is making. I see there are figures of training the trainers here. Are we really getting these trainers to continue to train people? Do we really have the impact? But whether also it is possible for members of this committee to get copies of the training documents that are being used, so that we don't speak different languages. What we speak to the people and what the department is speaking to the people in regards to training should be the same thing. Or equally, documents relating to procedures and processes to qualify or to apply to be a member of this cooperative. Clearly, areas relating to the cooperation of other departments and the taking serious this particular project by provinces has been overemphasized. I cannot overemphasize.
Thank you, Comrade Farida Mohammed.
I just want to refer us to, I think it's been slide number 9. I think you have said that the strategy is being developed in Free State, Northern Cape, and Mpumalanga. Could you perhaps tell us how far is that process? Because that's very important. And then I looked at some of the statistics in slide 10, where you've actually said that in the summer, 2,131 women borrowed. Perhaps if we could get a breakdown of the others as well, the Wumbu Fund, because I don't see anything for women there, and National Empowerment Fund in terms of the women accessing that funding. What would be of interest is also in terms of the demand side of cooperatives, like tourism, building, accounting, manufacturing. Do you think there's a gap with regard to any one of those sectors where we could then do some advocacy work where it could fit into some of the women that might want to do something in that area? Perhaps you could tell us if there is any startling gap in the demand side of that. And I think I would also want to add my voice to a comment that asked about the training of the trainers. Perhaps you could tell us some more about that. I would be very interested. I know I don't think it would be possible for you to give us the answers now, but I would be very interested to look at slides 15 and 16. In fact, each and every slide, and see how women can be, how women have actually benefited from this. So even if you have can send it to us as a proper breakdown with regard to statistics, we'd appreciate that. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, it might be a good time now to take responses to comments and questions posed. Thank you very much, good folks.
Thank you, Chair. I'll do a few, I'll take a few questions under Jeff, and Mr. Dong will take the rest of the experts in this. But I just want to first start by saying, really, here we are dealing with a very important sector of our economy, which was unfortunately for a long time neglected. And the other challenge that we are facing is that we are really dealing with a number of people who, some of them, are not well educated in terms of running business or financial business administration. So to be able to formalize this sector of the economy, you need all the support from all levels of government and all state institutions that have been established, you know, to facilitate participation of people in the economy. So I think that is why you'll find that there are questions around duplication of functions, you know, between and among organizations like the Youth Fund, and CEDA and CULA. But in fact, if you look at it carefully, these organizations were established for particular, you know, to achieve a particular mandate. Obviously, there will be cross-cutting issues, as we have seen now, that even the youth sector is also, you know, cooperatives are also developing there. But then they also want access to non-financial services CEDA could provide. And to try not to duplicate in terms of now establishing offices, unnecessary offices in the rural areas, the government has decided that organizations like Usobumbu Youth Fund must work together and collaborate with CEDA in providing those services, financial and non-financial. So really, it's not a matter of duplicating, but it's more about, you know, complementing each other and cooperating in providing these essential services to the youth, the women, and the co-ops down there. And again, I want to really, you know, to ensure this committee that the DTI, you know, regards this sector, the cooperative sector, as one of the most important within the division. You see, that's why the unit was elevated to the chief directorate level, so that Jeff could also have the directors beneath him, people of high standing in terms of government ranking, so that they could carry that mandate to negotiate with other departments, with other institutions of government, in trying to form a collaborative effort to provide services and improve this sector. I think our minister, if I'm not mistaken, 2 weeks ago, he was reporting to cabinet, you know, to the cluster, economic cluster. Again, on the very same work, the very same impact, these sectors like cooperatives and small business that have in the economy, like we have also done here. So within the department, really, the importance of this is at the ministerial level. We have problems, obviously, you know, in terms of now compliance from other departments, because we are the lead department when it comes to the coordination and reporting, as she has said. But we're working on those. So much so that, you know, we have decided that government that doesn't want to cooperate, really, we have to lift this issue and elevate it to the ministerial level. Our minister must intervene. And I fully agree with the honorable member, Admini, that some of the departments, they still have that problem of saying, you know, we are responsible for our functions. You cannot tell us anything. You know, we are at the same level as you are as a department. But then, obviously, these are the issues that our minister will have to raise at the economic cluster and the cabinet, full cabinet level. So we are working on those. I think, Jeff, if maybe you can take some of the questions, I'll also come in as we go along. Thanks.
I'm not going to follow any sequence order, really. I'm going to pick from easy to the difficult. So that's the order I'm going to be following. I think the question that was asked around TEO, what TEO is all about. TEO is the enterprise organization, is a division within TTI. What it does is provides, it administers and also disperses incentives that goes to enterprises, that goes to cooperatives as well within TTI. So it is therefore has the responsibility of also dispersing the CIS as one of the products that was given to them, a program was given to them to dispense to cooperatives. So it is that is what it is discharged for. That's the answer there. With respect to the difference between the cooperative incentive scheme and the cooperative special project fund. These are two different funds. They are non-financial support funds, both the two of them. The CIS is, as I said, it's a 90-10 matching grant. It is a grant which is given to cooperatives that are at the startup level. These are your survivalists, your micro and very small cooperatives. And the range of finance that it is providing, it is from a minimum of 10,000 or 10K to a maximum of 300K, which is given as a grant to cooperatives in terms of the 90%. And then the cooperative is therefore requested or required to provide the 10%. And that 10% which they have to provide, it is in a form of, it can be in a form of finance, it can also be in a form of assets, it can even also be in a form of in-kind, like, for example, training or like the issue of skills that are available to the cooperative. That is the kind of the in-kind that we require from them, or even also the buildings and looking at even the land as an asset that is available to them that then is counted as part of the 10%. That's the cooperative incentive scheme. So it's more on your setup level and more on your micro to very small cooperatives. And then the cooperative special project fund is a mixed facility. It has a 60% loan component and a 40% grant located. So for an enterprise, when it comes to apply, either to start up, to start an enterprise at the level of small to medium, because this one operates from survivalist to very small, this one pick up from small to medium cooperatives, and it also provides expansion assistance. The financial range there is starting from 300K right up to 2.5 million in terms of both a loan and a grant mixed within that particular support to a cooperative. So these are the differences really, and they operate in different market range responding to the demands of cooperatives. That's the really the distinction and the differences between these two instruments. And then the other question that was asked is around FET colleges, that in KZN we had FET colleges that do provide training. What's happening with the others? As I've noted in my report, is that a number of FET colleges, also through CEDA, we have now trainers within a number of FET colleges, which are 52. Where is that particular figure? We've provided 51 FET colleges that we've now trainers within the FET colleges so that they can begin to start playing a critical role in training cooperatives, and particularly on concepts, on the principle of cooperatives, and even also on the business support services. That is the essence. So you're going to now be seeing in various provinces and in various particular areas where these particular FET colleges are involved, starting taking up the baton of providing these kinds of training beyond the KZN program. So that's the way forward in that regard. That's what has happened. And then on the aspect really of just to come in on the aspect, because the questions are many. Let me just deal with the first one. CEDA and Umsobomvu. Why is, on the other hand, you are seeing Umsobomvu getting involved in the non-financial support. And I think, as Sipho has stated, by and large, Umsobomvu is operating within the youth sector. It is promoting the establishment of youth-owned cooperatives or also small enterprises, micro to medium, small enterprises owned by the youth. And then in that particular respect, it also therefore collaborate and partner with CEDA in ensuring that non-financial support, because the biggest challenge, particularly when you're looking at the youth, you're looking at women, and even also you're looking at our people, is that there is a very little really skills on business skills and entrepreneurial skills and administrative skills and management skills that are there within our people. Therefore, it becomes difficult to give loans and assistance, financial assistance, without linking it up very strongly with the non-financial support that is required. And therefore, some of these agents, before they lend their money, then they then facilitate and work closely with CEDA to ensure that that particular non-financial support is provided so that you can guarantee and mitigate the risk and minimize the failure in that particular regard of the enterprises in terms of operation. So that's the reason. It's not the mixed of mandates, but the mandates are very clear. It's the partnership and collaboration and working together. And in fact, also using similar existing infrastructure to dispense on some of these services to enterprises. With respect to the issue on the issue of the strategy that we're developing on cooperatives, I might admit that yes, we might be a bit slow there in that regard, but we have already have a draft that is ready, which we are now engaging the minister on it and finalizing it, and then very soon we're going to be taking it to NEDLEC, and we anticipate that if all goes according to plan, and next day we should be also coming here to the House, to the committee, to present it as a document to be engaged further, and then if we get the thumbs up on it, and then take it to Cabinet for final endorsement. We are very aware of the agents of the matter to make sure that we speed up that particular process and ensure that it begins, because there are a number of programs that we're going to be bringing forth to strengthen and respond to all the areas of cooperatives within that strategy, and therefore we are going to engage with that particular issue. In terms of the housing, whether in that 10 million, is it individual members that are giving the assistance, or is it cooperatives that are giving the assistance? I think our answer there is very simple, really. The housing, the HSFS, has provided support directly to cooperatives. These amounts were given to cooperatives as juristic persons, not to natural persons as individuals, but it went to cooperatives as juristic persons to be given the loan to drive the establishment of housing cooperatives in particular areas. We've got, for example, I'll give you an example, a cooperative on housing in the new town in Joburg in the Gauteng province, which was financed as well by this particular instrument, and the amount was given directly to cooperatives, not to individual members. So what we're reporting there, therefore, is with respect to juridic persons and cooperatives, that those amounts were dispensed to those juridic persons. Then the other question that was raised is around the extent to which we provide, how accurate are these numbers? I would say that, ladies and gentlemen, these are the numbers that have been provided to us as reporting part of the mechanism by the agencies as well as by the department concerned. And I would like to believe that it is in a way criminal, really, to provide inaccurate statistics to government and even also to elevate it to the level of officials. And we would like to believe that these numbers are accurate as reflected here. So there is no doubt as to the accuracy of them on our side, because we emphasize that particular point in as part of our coordination and monitoring. And we said to department, if you have not done anything, accurately report accordingly. If there has been an implementation, give us the accurate implementation and the figures accordingly. We are going to decompose them further to particularly the otherwise, and we're going to be working with the various departments and various provinces to decompose it further in terms of youth, in terms of women, and also in terms of the disabled, so that moving forward, and even also we give you those figures as decomposed, so that when you look at the overall figure, you can then see how many women have benefited, how many youth have benefited, and how many disabled. I think we're going to take that particular request. I beg your pardon? And men as well, yes, and men as well. I take men as a standard, yeah, beneficiary. Yeah. It's very automatic, and then we target the others as to track them. So yeah, with respect to the issue of web page, we are development of web page so that the information becomes available to members, particularly if they go to our website. We are currently working on formulating and developing not only just within CTI, but that will link up a portal, that will link provinces, that will link programs, that will link with also other departments, what they are doing around cooperatives, so that then we can have a total universal picture that is continuously updated within that particular portal. And I think that is what we're working on currently now, so that in the future, when we provide you with an information, you can even also at your own spare time then can go and zoom in into that particular portal and get whatever information that you regard on cooperatives, every aspect that's going to be provided in that particular portal. So that particular aspect is it's a work that we're working on and it's in progress. In terms of the research that has been undertaken and the study, that research that we reported on is the research that has been undertaken by the Department of Public Works as part of their EPW program, and therefore we are reporting on it because what they are doing with it, they are trying to carry out a study that says to them, in which particular sectors are the cooperatives and how can we therefore respond accordingly within those particular sectors and then provide support to them, and then how are the numbers and all that kind of stuff. And then I think that particular research really in terms of public works will be made available to the House if it is required once it has been completed. But it is being currently carried out, and then once it's available, I think we're going to have a copy of CTI as the overall coordinator. We can then be able to make it available, really. I think that is not the issue. In terms of the cooperative bank bill, indeed, there is a bank bill that was drafted by National Treasury with DTI participating in that particular bank bill. What it does, it provides really a framework and on how the governing and the registering and the establishment and the formation of cooperative banks in South Africa and governing them. And that bill now, I think it's now into a stage of becoming, it's an act, I think, already, which has been, we participated in that process and made inputs into it. What it does, it promotes the cooperative banks that are going to come in and provide financial support to cooperatives. In fact, that's where now, by and large, we're going to see a bigger role from the private sector point of view, particularly in terms of financial support from these bank bills. And we are having various already organizations within the private sector now being keen to start establishing these banks. There are already existing banks that are there, which SAMAF is using in terms of these cooperative banks as intermediaries to lend some of the amount that the 10,000 that is loaned by SAMAF to households and also to micro cooperatives and micro enterprises. We're going to see a growth of cooperative banks out of that legislation. In terms of the overall really training, the impact on training, we are. I think the impact, I think that we will be very humble about it. It's still in the early phases, and that particular impact is not of a massive scale. And one of the reasons for that, I think there is, from the demand side of aspects, I think there is an uptake. It's not that huge. I mean, if you look in terms of the registration of cooperatives, we have plus minus 15,000 that are already registered within our CIPRO statistics. And then also we are not having massive impact as the way we would want to see it. We see these are still in the early stages where we're beginning to bring society, mobilize society towards cooperatives, and the people are beginning to appreciate the wonders of cooperatives as expressed by the honorable member as a very wonderful form of business that can create massive jobs, it can eliminate poverty, and can also mobilize savings from our people and ensure those savings really create and bring our people to the mainstream economy. But now people are beginning to do that, and I think we need to accept our impact is not that huge, but already infrastructure is there, and already now the commitment is coming into the fore. We're going to see that particular impact being increased, and we're also going to measure it accordingly moving forward, really, in that particular regard. I think I will just add there and then leave others for my colleagues to add, and then we can then close our response. I just want to add only on coordination, how are we going to improve it? One of the aspects, we're going to improve coordination in terms of the intergovernmental committee, as well as the provincial committees, and also the agencies themselves, because we're going to also have a committee that will get address and also bring the agencies so that we can monitor their work and also that they are rolling out of the program. We are also brought in the minister on and board to engage with his that is colleague or his equal in the other various provinces so that we can begin to ensure those provinces participate and start getting involved. That is the direct intervention that we are already making. And then secondly, with respect to provinces, I think we're engaging with provinces within the structure of MINMEC, where our minister is meeting some of the provincial leadership within the MINMEC structure so that we can ensure that. And then the matters of participation, even also development of further programs and deepening the cooperative programs within provinces are issues that are in the table of MINMEC that therefore ensures that the minister's concern can then bring their departments to ensure that they play a role in driving the promotion of programs and also the implementation of those programs towards cooperatives. So these are the measures that we're going to be undertaking and that we've already started them, but we're going to deepen them further to ensure that we address the issue of coordination. But I don't think that we need to exaggerate it. I think at the moment, as I said, 18 already at the national level, 18 departments have responded. We are only having few of them, and therefore those few, the issues are going to be taken at the minister level so that we can ensure participation moving forward, because the commitment of promoting cooperatives really has been accepted by government overall, and therefore ministers appreciate that, and I think those departments and the officials concerned that must play the role of assisting us in this regard will then come on board moving forward. Yeah, thank you very much. Oh, yeah, let me just also elaborate on 10 products. there are a number of projects that have been identified in terms of our own, because one of the mandate we got from the cabinet is that we need to, as part of really reforming our procurement regime in South Africa, to develop and also assist and provide markets to small enterprises and cooperatives, that 10 products should be identified. We've got a list of those particular programs, products. They range from, for example, clothing, food, catering provided to by cooperatives to governments. They deal with some of the other products that are within the range, and within the range of small businesses, and also within the range of cooperatives to deliver. These are not your high-end products in terms of the, but they are the low-end products that cooperatives as well as a small enterprise can easily come in into that space and deliver to government. We've got a list of them. I think those particular list of those products, we can make them available to this house and to this committee if required. But these are your low-end products that do not go to the high-end in terms of products where cooperatives as well as small businesses can also play a role in providing those products to government and services. Yeah, thank you very much.
Good morning. Thank you, Chairperson. I'm just going to deal with a few questions that have been left by my colleagues here. The first question is on the 645 poverty relief projects, mostly in which women have benefited. These were the projects that were supported by the Department of Social Development in mostly rural areas to assist women in raising their households. So now they are being converted into cooperatives. They are mostly in the agricultural sector. There are other sectors as well, like catering and other sectors. But then we can give a full picture of what these projects are and where they are, if it's required by the house, from the Department of Social Development. And then also another one that is linked to that is the pilot, which is in NGP, whereby more information is required to be provided to the chair, to the committee. I'm sure that the Department of Social Development will also be willing to provide more information on that, because it's one of their three pilots that in which they are going to implement their strategy on sustainable livelihoods. So it's more also using the cooperative model. I'm sure they are going to be willing to share that one as well. And then another question was which departments are at the infancy stage of supporting cooperatives. Most departments that are not mentioned there, except for those that are not yet participating, are still at infancy stages of developing programs. For instance, the Department of Transport is has mentioned that there are various opportunities that they can see in which they can support cooperatives. And also, as mentioned, the National Treasury, through the new Act, is also going to be supporting a specific cooperative bank. Yeah, and I think that's it. Okay, sorry, about the documents that are being used when training trainers of cooperatives. We are going to also make that information available. In this case, we've got a general document in which it is mentioned how you can comply with the Cooperative Act and what is required of you to form a cooperative. That is a general document which can be used by anyone. And then there are specific... it's also available in the website. It's called Guide to the New Cooperatives Act. It's a very simple document which can be used by anyone. But we also have specific documents which are being used for the training of trainers, which are more, which can be used only by service providers, really. They are, yeah, they are specialists. They can be used by specialists in that particular area. But I don't know if the house also wants to get access to those documents. We can provide that, but it's very huge documents. Thank you.
Chairperson, I think that would be it. If there are any other areas we've omitted, I think we would appreciate if we will be reminded on them. In terms of, there's one issue, interacting with SALGA. We do indeed, we have interacted with SALGA on a number of occasions, and in fact, we're going to interact with them, particularly on the LED forums which they held themselves, but also specifically on this critical aspect, and I think it relates to the local government. One of the responsibilities for local government, which they need to be able to play a role, is to ensure that they integrate within their LED strategies and also within the IDP which are developed within local cooperatives, and ensure that they are integrated within those IDPs. And these are the tasks which provinces moving forward are going to be engaging with their own local government to ensure that those IDPs really do indeed integrate cooperatives in those particular, and even also the LED strategy that is there, and also the IDP that are developed within each particular local levels of government. And then moving forward, we're going to be reporting as to the progress in terms of the work, but also local government are expected to provide infrastructure support in terms of businesses like infrastructure, business hub, incubations that are going to be available for cooperatives, as well as also for small enterprises. And these are the kinds of also developments moving forward we're going to be reporting on as well. On those kinds of support that are going to be emanating from a local level of government, and even also some of the support financial and other from local government, we're going to be reporting on it. At the moment, I think that in terms of coordinating local government, provinces still find it as a bigger challenge in their regard. And it's something that we're going to be moving forward, working with them to ensure that we provide that kind of reflection on what is happening at that level, at that tier of government, Chairperson. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson, for giving me another chance. To the presenter, I've asked a question. Because of some problems that are in the land bank. Now, umbuzo wami bowuthi ukhula is also tapping into those funds zamafisa. Now, mangibheka la ngizwa ukuthi nani, you are also tapping from those mafisa funds, but there's that moratorium. Ngathi ke ngicela ukuchazelwa ukuthi what is happening here. Is this fund working or not? Okwesibili, ngikhulume ngale ama members of the household corporations. Ebe ngifuna nje la ukuthi mhlawumbe is there a balance scorecard where we can see ukuthi nisebenza kanjani na this member, because akukho strategic plan eninayo esinikeza yona to measure against. Yilokho nje bengifuna ukukwazi ukuthi ke i-impact siyibona kanjani, is it in the department or what? Because is the impact positive or negative? I'm just trying to explain it further. What is it that we are measuring you on? Measuring sick as now because there's no strategic plan. Again, what is your budget then? Because it seems as if you are giving us what social development is doing, what agriculture is doing, etc., etc. We have trouble that.
Thank you. Just additional question. I think my question. The first one that I want to try and make a proposition on is the issue of coordination. It shouldn't be just for the sake of coming to a meeting, these other departments. The committee. It should actually have very tight working relationships. You know, reporting, not just reporting because the unit would be coming to the portfolio committee and you actually source reports from various departments. No, actual work that has to be carried out from time to time of the unit with those departments. Up to the issue that was raised by Ramudile, monitor would also say that what is needed there is also to consider whether you could help the the field workers, so that what you get from agriculture, you don't just get what has been written on their offices when they draft reports. You must actually know if you are a coordinating department, what is happening within the agriculture, the social development, and the rest of the, you know, like the public works, you know, in your report, public works is indicated to be funding cooperatives. At the same time, they are talking EPWP, yeah. It's a public work program. You know, which is far different from cooperative. Far different from cooperative. You know, though it has some other elements of training and so on, but it is not cooperative. Now the on your slide page 5. You indicated that this 9 million, eh? 9 million from Umsobom, that goes for loans, and SACOL has been given that much, 2 million. Fine, but and SACOL therefore lends to SACOL. You see, but SACOL is not a specialist on lending. It is a secondary cooperative itself. It can actually be funded for its own activities, and it's a specialist, you know, on training. And that angle that has been taken by this Umsobom contradicts what the farmers approved, which is actually the best, as commended by Kubistis as well. In a short space of time, it has done something. And it has actually rejected funding SACOL. It goes direct to SACOL, which is a good thing, direct to those SACOL, because the SACOL are the primary cooperatives that would want to invest over to the last end. The individual enterprises, etc. So we would need to look at that. And further, you say that SACOL lending to 395 micro enterprises and say jobs. I don't know what that means. Well, SACOL, I know they do lend, but I don't know which are these SACOL. I don't know whether Kubistisa's question was answered about the prime rate by NEF lending.
lastly, check the cabinet. You say the cabinet has approved the 30-day compliance for payment to small businesses, small enterprises. Where was it? It was just 2 weeks ago, if not 3 weeks, Denise, you remember. This issue was actually raised by the Kodi institutions. So I don't know when the cabinet approved this so that it is addressed. That's it.
Thank you. Could we have replies to that? Yes.
Let me start with the question on the Bafisa. I think that is true that a moratorium has been placed on Bafisa to lend. What they provided us is what they've already dispersed within it as the figures. But I think that is our understanding, and when we talked with them, I think that they want to really look at that particular model, and also therefore there is a moratorium in that particular respect. And I think that aspect is an aspect that is true. With respect to the strategic plan in terms of the impact or the negative of impact in working closely with the Department of Housing, we do work with them, and in fact what is happening with the Department of Housing is that there is a strategy that is being developed, the housing cooperative strategy that is being developed, which therefore will line out very clearly how they are going to go about systematically supporting the housing cooperatives. But before that strategy was developed, what the department has been doing really, it has, through this particular agency, been assisting housing cooperatives, but not in a systematic way, which is informed by the strategy. So we then engage with them that there is a need, from a department point of view, to develop that particular strategy, which I think is going to be available in due course. And I think the impact, really, in that particular regard, is not that huge currently now. I mean, there are very few housing cooperatives that have been established. There are very few housing cooperatives that have been financed in the country as a whole. And therefore, I think whatever impact that is there, it's still at a very low base. That is what I would report in that particular regard. It's not of huge base. It's still at a very low base, and it's still at the early stage. Because, like all departments, whether you're looking at housing and you're looking at transport, they are still starting really to get involved in supporting cooperatives. So the impact are still at a very low base. In fact, I would say very by and large across the board. So that's the reality in that regard. In terms of the 14 million, which one is it? Oh, what, in terms of our budget, what we've been allocated for, we have received the budget there's two ways we receive the budget from National Treasury. We receive the budget that goes into the cooperatives as the unit, but we also receive the budget in terms of transfers to agencies to roll out programs. So we have received, in terms of the cooperative incentive scheme 2006 and 2007 and 2008, 14 million was allocated to the CIS. That is the amount that was given to the cooperative incentive scheme. And then in terms of transfer to the cooperative special project, 20 million was given to the cooperative special project. And then in terms of the unit itself to carry out its work, we received 20 million. That is the amount that we received. So in that particular regard, those are the tranches of budget allocations that we've received from NESA 2007 to 2008. That's the budget that is available to us. Now, with respect to, I think, monitoring mechanisms, I think coordination, the way we look at it, yes, of course, it is about, and I would totally agree with you, it's about a number of things. It's about working together to achieve these particular objectives, the various departments, and that's what we're doing through that particular coordination. Like for example, when these particular departments develop the strategy, we work together, we make sure that we finalize it, and we provide the technical input to make sure that those particular strategies do not, at the end of the day, contradict the act, and they do not contradict our particular objectives as a government. They are in line with the spirit and the latter of the act, and they are in line with the spirit and the latter of the policy. So there is that working together in formulating the strategy. There is also we work together in designing instruments or programs that must support those cooperatives in those particular respective sectors, whether you're looking at provincial levels, whether you're looking at the national levels of government. We are working together. But at the same time as well, then we then expect, particularly at the level of the implementation now, when agencies or those respective agencies that implement those kinds of programs, to therefore finish us back a report that we can then be able to see how are we progressing in the implementation front of those particular respective programs that have been developed and how many people are benefiting and what the impact to the economy on those particular programs that have been developed. And then our responsibility, therefore, is to ensure that we collate that information and put it together so that we can then be able to furnish it to the respective organs of state and also to this particular committee as well. So this is the approach that we do, really, at the aspect of coordination. We do also have our field workers who will go and interact directly, who will attend from our own unit, who will go and work with those particular departments in assessing. I mean, we've got deputy directors underneath our respective directors and also assistant directors who will go there and engage with every respective particular department in any particular issue that we're engaging on. So the coordination approach really is a well that is a well-coordinated one, which is not just about us collecting the information and reporting to the house, but it's working together. We provide the technical advice. We ensure that things are done according to the specific, and where there is research that has to be conducted, we will get involved in developing those terms of references and then carry out those research and then engage with the findings that will therefore inform the development of strategies and policies and also inform the development of programs. So it's an all-encompassing and a very detailed, real coordination that we are engaged in. With respect to the departments then, in terms of the various programs, I think that is, by and large for now, I would say, because we are at the infancy stage, if you take, for example, the Department of Public Works, the only approach that they've utilized as an instrument to support or provide assistance and support to cooperatives has been, so for now, through the EPW program, where they are using that particular program to provide opportunities to cooperatives, but at the same time to train them, give them technical training, but also to them provide them with the economic opportunities in terms of procurement for them, so that is the mechanism that, for now, they're using. But moving forward with them, we're going to be working on the program, on the strategy, on the policy, and also further programs that will then be supported by that particular department. The model that the Umsobo Youth Fund utilizes is twofold. In some instances, what they do, they use what you call direct lending on their loan. That is the model that they use. And then they also use intermediaries to assist them in that particular regard. And I think that is the true approach. And you will see in my report on Umsobo, that is where I directly report on the 9 million which they've dispersed directly to the cooperative. But in some instances, as a way of beefing up the capacity of the secondary cooperative, they will also use cooperatives as an intermediary to lend to SACOS or other cooperatives under that particular secondary cooperative. So it's a multiple approach. So it's not necessarily to say
that their approach is the unipolar or uniform one, that only thing they're going to only just lend directly. They do lend massively directly, and big amounts go directly from Umsobomvu to the beneficiaries, but they also use certain approach to say, how do we then also access the development of the secondary intermediaries that are to support the primaries underneath those intermediaries? And then part of doing that is to therefore even give them some particular capital that they then administer on behalf of Umsobomvu as a way also of building their capacity as well. That is the approach that Umsobomvu is using in this particular regard. But those are always small amounts. The big chunk of the amounts that they are dispersing are dispersed directly. With the aspect of the prime rate, I think that is so far for now. This is the instrument. This is the interest charges that NEF is providing to cooperatives. We have raised it with them to say that if you start charging on the prime rate level, it's something that emanated because when the NEF fund and the product that were developed by and large not from a standpoint of cooperatives, but they were developed by and large to lend to BE enterprises and also to get involved on BE transactions as well. So that is why you find that by and large they're still using the prime rate as the charge. We have engaged with them to say that it becomes very much cumbersome and it creates a high level of gearing to cooperatives if you begin to charge at the level of prime rate. And it's something that moving forward we're going to be engaging with them so that they minimize their interest charges to the loans that they disperse to cooperatives. Either they become very much lower level of charges, or they charge they get their principal investment only, which is what has been lended to cooperatives. So these are the discussions that we're still going to have engaged with them on the issue of the prime rate, and I think that is, we do appreciate that particular point, because NEF is by and large in the space of development finance. They're not in the space like banks really to make huge interest and huge profits as a result in that regard. So it's an issue that we accept and it's an issue that we are engaging with it. We hope that moving forward it will be resolved.
Thanks. I just want to come in on the issue on cabinet approval of the 10 products and 30 days 30 days payment, to small business, I think the Department of Trade and Industry was requested by a cabinet committee on, I think it's the economic cluster, to come and present on the impact of the small, micro-small enterprise development strategy that was approved, I think, in 2005 by the cabinet. But the teacher then decided to take an opportunity to also, within that report, take on the impact of the strategy, request cabinet to approve the 30-day payment issue and the 10 products which are designed to create a demand for small enterprises. We did this presentation, it was an aggregated presentation to the cabinet committee. I think it was on the 25th of October. And I could comfortably say that from that meeting, and I've seen the minutes of the cabinet committee already, the 30-day payment and the 10 products were approved by the cabinet committee. So much so that there have been letters already that has been signed by our DG to various departments, informing those DGs of the various departments about these approvals and the implementation of the approvals by the cabinet committee. So yes, this has been done, and I can confirm that at the minute has been sent to the department already on this issue. Thanks.
thank you very much. From the presentation, it's clear that there are still a number of issues that will be ongoing issues that we need to interact with the unit because of what you have said earlier, the importance of cooperatives to ensure that there is adequate money that communities can access and that cooperatives become the reality that it should and plays the roles in society that it should as agents of empowering people at different levels of the economy. So the work will begin, remain important, and it's important for us to interact. Are there any further comments, members? Because this will be an ongoing process. We can't exhaust everything today. But I'll take the last three. Comrade Sisa, Mayor Dorothy, and you, Comrade. And mentally, the last charity question is that it's so as you say. Let's go, Comrade Sisa. Can we keep it focused, Comrade?
Thank you, Chair. From my side, I know I just disappeared a little bit, but I think I'll make comments and run the capital proposal at this stage. I suppose one of the things that's coming up is one is expecting that the Department of Labor will be rolled in. I say that through Chevrolet Scott is the interest around integrating CETAs. We've got about 20 something CETAs. So to ensure that you know the value of cooperatives is, you know, is shared everywhere and it's best. I strongly would argue for integration within the CETA training program. But also, Chair, Professor Turok raised the issue of utilizing CCOs. Let me just re-emphasize that. In fact, as we finish, I have to talk to Babas God about the training program which is supposed to take place in my CCO. That's one good example that really things are happening. I over the telephone with one community development worker, we were able to pull in 16 cooperatives. Just imagine if we would have sent out emails, not emails, but taxes and had it done it properly. But just over the phone, 16. So it shows that PCOs, you know, can play a role. The last point here is building a culture and molding a legacy around cooperatives. Is an idea and a very, very torturous route, as Professor Chirok has said. My humble proposal is that it would be helpful maybe once we are fresh from holidays early next year that the TI pulls together a couple of role players in this area just to ensure that there's a common understanding. I would leave it to your wisdom, Chair, and TI to see how we can move it. But what I see in that session is to have your SALGAS, your SACOL, and any other, you know, major player that could come in and just to check, do we have a common understanding what role our cooperative is beginning to play? It's no longer a conceptual debate now. The act is there, the programs is there, the strategy is supposed to be concluded at some stage. We just start doing that. So that throughout the year, and even at the end of the year, when we do an assessment, we can assess against that. Whether SALGA will be doing on its own, but also we can be able to say, look, we're no longer asking, do you meet SALGA? We said, look, what are the results of your interaction with SALGA? Just one good example. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Chair.
Chairman, I've got one question and one comment. And my question is on the CDW. we, according to the slide here, it's 270 CDWs that have been trained, you know. I think it can be very helpful if one could know, because you are saying in all the provinces. But how many from these various provinces, you know, so that we can be able to also utilize those the CDWs. And the comment I have is about this last, I think your last response on the 30-day compliance is very unfortunate that we're talking about the low-end products, people who are struggling, you know, to come up into business. And yet, after rendering a service, they have to wait for the whole month. And I think it's, for me, it's a red tape, you know, and it's just unfortunate that it has been approved without even us being involved in discussing it. Because we know of many instances where, you know, some of these service providers are really crying because they have to wait, you know, for 30 days for them to be paid for the services that they render. That's a comment.
Thanks, Chair. You see, Chair, sometimes the disadvantage of being noted after Honorable FIFA will actually say to you that he'll raise all these issues that you wanted to raise. But just to re-emphasize what he raised and with Memorable Ramudi, what she raised around the monitoring of monitoring of the cooperatives and the trainers that have been trained, your CGW, and that question of taking the PCOs on board as well. Because my worry is, Chair, most of the CGWs, in most cases, they do not even have workstations. You know, so it becomes quite important that the DTI makes a follow-up on those that have been trained and making sure that from our PCOs, make sure that there is that linkage, and from there we can take the process forward. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I want to say thank you to the presenters again. My first question was not actually a question, a request. As I'm looking to the slides on page 11 and in many other pages, but I'll only talk about page 11. I see here in the Western Cape 850,000 was budgeted for the pilot project, and you cite again the 2.3 million and you go further and on top there, you also have other amounts. My request would be, rather, as I see that you are monitoring what is happening in other departments as well, and my request would be maybe to give us an indication that you have the capacity to monitor this. And what reflects here should also reflect on those departments' reports. Because if it reflects here and it doesn't reflect on that side, it becomes a little bit problematic. But my question then would be, do you have the capacity, as now, the program within the DTI, of dealing with all these other departments and monitoring what is happening in the department in relation to cooperatives? Because on your last page, you are saying you still need the technical assistance to provinces in finalization of their services, and so and also technical assistance to national departments in development of cooperative sector policies strategies and programs. So there's still a lot of work to be done. Do you then have the capacity to push them to be faster and maybe to monitor what is happening in all these projects? But the other one was just a suggestion. Thank you, Chairperson.
Mentally, thanks. Presenters, I'm sure you had the thrust of the remarks, but in concluding, if you want to have some concluding remarks, I'll give you the opportunity to do so.
Thanks, Chairperson. On the issue of capacity within the Department of Trade and Industry to provide effective monitoring, let me approach this question this way, Chairperson. As I said that we are going to create as well the Cooperative Advisory Board, and that board is going to advise the minister in terms of policy, but it's also going to assist further the unit and the department in terms of monitoring and engaging with all the various departments on the implementation of cooperatives. So within that particular advisory board, you're going to have members of that advice specializing on certain particular sectors or certain particular departments, and others engaging with provinces and even also with municipalities in ensuring that all departments comply and they do indeed provide the necessarily support to cooperatives and they implement those programs. But also within our unit, we have the capacity. We are using the structures that we've created, which are the committees, and we're utilizing as well those particular committees as platforms to monitor progress with them. But also where possible, we engage them directly where they need those particular technical assistance. So we do have the personnel to engage with them, but of course in some instances it becomes overstretched. But to compensate that particular overstretching, then we're going to be having this board that's going to be working with the unit in providing further that particular monitoring to ensure that we come very strongly in that particular regard. So I want to assure the committee that we are going to be well-capacitated, and we already are coping now, but of course we are in some instances overstretched to engage with every department in every particular aspect in all the other issues. But we are coping, but we think that we will be compensated further in that regard with by the establishment of the advisory board, which will actively play that particular role as well in assisting us in that regard. Now, on the other issue of the issue on provinces and the technical issue that is raised by the honourable member. The assistance that is needed, really, that we're referring to here, is the technical assistance that is further needed by provinces in their development of their strategies, their policies, and their programs. And this is the one that we are going to further provide them within the unit in that regard. We realize that within the provinces themselves, there is a lack of technical expertise to drive effectively cooperatives, strategies and policies, and therefore we're coming into that particular picture to assist those particular limitations that are there in provinces. That is why I think even today, just to demonstrate that lack of capacity, some of the provinces are not engaging effectively with ensuring that the IDP program, the IDPs that are there in municipalities do indeed include cooperatives. This is at the beginning. Is the beacon that must be taken up effectively and be run and be coordinated by provinces in that regard. So we are engaging with them in assisting to build that particular and give them that technical assistance in ensuring that they do take up those particular responsibilities and ensure that we do provide that kind of assistance. So that is the technical assistance that we are talking about here. So on our side, we do have the unit that is well capacitated. And in fact, our vacancies rate really at the moment, they are around only 20%, which we are going to be filling them up. But we have full capacity, 80% of the staff available to our unit to deliver on our mandate. In that regard, I think
I would say that we are fairly there to this. I take the proposal very fully that we will need to bring further stakeholders, SAGA, and even also coordinate other particular stakeholders so that we can then engage with them further. It's something that we'll take it up and engage and even also to the members of the House and bring them into those particular structures so that we can take that particular aspect further. Any assistance that we receive, we welcome it because the challenge is huge, and I don't want to cheat the House. It's huge, and the level of understanding throughout the economy is very much at the very early age and is very limited. So whatever support that we can get to develop and also to ensure that we increase the level of understanding and the drive to implement cooperatives throughout the economy, we will welcome it, and we will work with all the stakeholders in that particular regard. Because, I mean, we dare not fail in this particular respect, otherwise we will be failing South Africa. Thank you very much, David.
Thank you, Chair. In conclusion, but I just want to maybe deal with the issue of 30 days from Mayor Ramodive. I think we will see whether it's really helping the SMMEs, the issue of getting paid within the 30 days of providing the service. And I'll guess that the 30 days would be better than, you know, if it is fully implemented, the situation will be better than what is currently happening now, because at the moment we find that, you know, these small companies, they wait, you know, up to 30 weeks, you know, waiting for payment from government departments. This 30 days thing is going to be monitored through the performance contract of the respective DGs. It's going to form part of the performance contract that his or her department pays, you know, the small service providers within the 30 days of providing the service, which is better than the practice out there, because I think practice, you know, it goes up to 90 days in some sectors. But I mean, in government, do the 30 days now, which I think can have a huge impact in terms of cash flow, you know, going to these SMEs. On the overall questioning and suggestions, I think, Chair, thanks very much. We will take some of the suggestions and the questions will be turned into suggestions anyway, because they also help us in focusing on areas maybe that we overlooked. Thanks very much for everything.
Thanks to the presenters. As we said, this is not the conclusion of the issues. They are obviously ongoing, and members in their various constituencies will keep on monitoring the performance in the localities and for us to interact to do the best that we can by cooperatives. Thanks. For members, we still have a number of reports were circulated to you, minutes of the meetings that you had over the past couple of weeks, presentations by various units, and briefings by Competition Commission and others. So what I would like is for a proposer, a mover rather, and a seconder. Then I'll sign off on the meetings, on the minutes of the respective meetings. Yes. Chairman, I received a number of these minutes, and it's all fair and well. And, but with respect, Chairman, some of the minutes date back to the January of this particular year. And Chairman, with respect, I cannot recall everything you should detail. So a request, isn't it possible that we can do it sooner? Because with respect, Chairman, this is about 10 months later, and it's very difficult to recall the minutes. So is this an appeal, if it's possible that we have it sooner, Chairman? We will do that, Dr. Abhi. The challenge you have faced in the past is that we have today scheduled for meetings, and then at the meeting, obviously.
obviously we have presentation and to go through the minutes of the previous meeting in detail also has its own time implications. So we'll try and strike a balance between the two factors. Yeah. Dr. Razi moves from the genuinely fund support. Thank you very much, good folks. There's fresh tea, coffee, juice, and some other drugs.
What drugs?